Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful that on a day like today, all around the world, every believer may celebrate this, that the grave is empty and we live. We live in Christ. It is no longer us who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. Everything pertains to a living God, and we live eternally with you. How blessed is this day then, Lord. We are so grateful because our words fall short to give you the proper glory and praise. But thank you, Father, for the word that we have in the form of letters and words, but that we have the word that is in our hearts, and that when we speak, that it always be the word in us. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ, for truly his grave is empty. And we all give God a praise offering. Hallelujah for this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you also, Pastor Harold, for this privilege. It is always a privilege to share God's word. And welcome to every person. Yes, great to see all these beautiful faces. And, you know, Pastor Harold, all of us who ever stands here and have the privilege to preach, we truly understand what privilege it really is. And under you, many of us have been blessed. You've raised people in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is the better for it. So we honor you for that, and we give God all the glory for that, because the kingdom of God is the better for it. And you may not know this, but many years ago, I said to a friend in the church, I said, if there was ever a person in this church, I was still in the world, I said, if there was ever a person that I could learn from, I would love to sit at the feet of Pastor Harold. And I'm the blessed one. I am the blessed one. But glory to God. Glory to God, because God's kingdom is forcefully advancing. And it is because we live the life not of a stone that is in front of a tomb, but the tomb that is empty. And Maud, you were so right when you started talking. I thought, oh gosh, Maud is going to give so many things away about my sermon this morning. But this is so true. I want you to understand what Maud said this morning. That even the disciples, when they were told that Jesus had risen, didn't believe. The only ones who believed it were the unbelievers, the Pharisees. Because what did they do? They made sure to station guards at the tomb to make sure that the body would not be resurrected or stolen. They believed, the unbelievers believed. And how much more than for us, how much we should believe. You know, the power of the crucifixion lies in this, that there was a body, but that body died, but it couldn't remain dead because it had to rise. The power of the resurrection lies in this, that that body had to be sinless, because a sinless body was the only thing that death could not keep in the grave. That is the power that we have through the resurrection, as well as the crucifixion. For us as believers all over the world, these 3 days, the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's the most important 3 days in the year for us. Three days, two events, the crucifixion and the resurrection, all about one person, which is Jesus Christ. What privilege do we have? You know, the Word of God is full of resurrection. It's not a strange phenomenon to God. In the Bible, there are at least 11 individuals who are and will be raised from the dead. In the Old Testament, Elijah raised one from the dead. Elisha raised 2 people from the dead. Our Lord Jesus raised 3 people from the dead before he himself died and was raised from the dead. Peter raised someone from the dead. Paul raised someone from the dead. The 2 witnesses in the Revelation will be raised from the dead. These are just individuals. When our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, it said the empty tombs of many of the saints opened and they were raised from the dead. The martyrs of old and the saints of old, the book of Revelation tells us that they will be resurrected. It is not a strange thing for God to resurrect people, and yet it is the only faith that stands on the premise and the truth and the power that there is a resurrection. Even in the ministries of the years gone by, there is proof that people were raised from the dead. I'm just thinking quickly of Smith Wigglesworth. I think, if I'm correct, Pastor, it's 14. 14 people in his ministry were raised from the dead. Every time in the Old Testament that God would talk about resurrection, when people were resurrected, it was always point to our Lord Jesus Christ who would be resurrected. And in the New Testament, when our Lord Jesus speaks and performs these acts of resurrecting people, it will always point that there is new life for each and every single one of us. The Bible is so full of it, and it's so symbolic, and it is so prophetic. Even when Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, it was pointing towards, for the Jews, Israel, there would come resurrection. Peter ministered unto the Jews. When Paul raised the young boy, Eutychus, from the dead, it was pointing towards the Gentiles. There would be resurrection coming. That is the power of the resurrection. You know, do we really get it? Do we really understand what we have because of the resurrection? We have been redeemed from the eternal curse and death. Because there could be no crucifixion if there was not a resurrection. The power of the crucifixion had no power if there was not an empty tomb. Do we really, really understand it? That we truly have the redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do we understand that we have life? Jesus himself said these words, I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me will also have life. We have power and authority because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that irrespective of where we find ourselves right now in this point in life, that the power of Satan cannot overcome you. Every lie, every suggestion, every work of the enemy is totally annihilated because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, glory to him. Glory to him. We have an eternal home. And I love this. I love this about our Lord Jesus. That you know that he was a carpenter. A builder, a carpenter is somebody who builds. You put structures together and you put foundation there. That our Lord Jesus was that all the days of his life, and he still continues to be that today. That whilst on the earth, he was a carpenter and who did that work. But he also, when he was on the earth, he built his church. He put the foundation and the structure there for the church to build it upon him, which is the foundation. And when he told his disciples that he was about to leave, he said, I'm going to my Father to prepare a place for you. That there is a home, there is a mansion, a place that the builder is prepared, that he has prepared for us. He never changed his vocation. He never gave that up. You know how powerful the resurrection of Jesus Christ is? That in the early church, and you see that in the book of Acts 1:22, that no apostle could become an apostle or would be elected as an apostle unless it is that they were present at the crucifixion and present at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how serious they took the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why when they were in the upper room, Matthias, when he was chosen, he had to qualify through that, being present at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the foundation of the apostles' teaching when they taught through the whole New Testament, that they stood on that truth, that there is an empty grave. And that empty grave is because there's life in the resurrection. You know, of every faith in this world, every religion in this world, every single one of them, every denomination, whoever started that faith and that denomination, every single one of those leaders are dead, including our Lord Jesus Christ. All of them are dead. But yet Christianity is the only one who can talk and speak and confess about an empty tomb and a resurrection that took place. Because in that, there are two powerful things that the Lord establishes. That for somebody to be resurrected, it is a power that is beyond the ability of man, number one. And point number two, that power is a power that is continuous. It is living and it continues to go on. And the proof of that is that the dead cannot raise the dead. The life of Christ speaks and it is living. And it is a living faith that we belong to. You know, John 1 verses 4, so often this scripture stirs me. And just when I was reading the scripture, the Lord pointed me also to the resurrection in the scripture. Because we know what it says. It says, in him, Jesus, was the life. And the life was the light of men. And it says here, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. But listen to this. In him, Christ was the life. When does life come? When there's no more death. So life was always continuously in Christ. And then this light, this life came into the light of men. We carry that light today because of the life which is in Christ Jesus. And because he is alive, we are alive. Therefore, darkness could not and will not comprehend us. That word comprehend means that darkness cannot gain control over us because of the life of Christ Jesus. You know, there are many versions of Jesus in this world. And I use the name Jesus for the purpose of illustration, but with a reverential fear for what that name really deserves. But the world do not fear that name. And it's the one thing that Satan did through all this world. He knew that the name of Jesus could not be silenced. The people are going to hear about the name of Jesus in one way or another. So he decided, let's give them a Jesus, but let's give them the different versions of Jesus. In one particular faith, Jesus is a prophet, but he's not the prophet. In another faith or another religion, Jesus is a God, but is not God, and nor is he the Son of God. In fact, they say he is the Archangel Michael. In another faith or religion, they say that Jesus is a messenger. He's only a messenger. In another faith, they say that he is Jesus, the Son of God, but they venerate his mother more than him. They speak more about her and give her more power than they give him. The fact of the matter is, in all of this, Satan came to pollute the world and to take away the power of Jesus. But there's one thing he could not take away from our Lord Jesus. It's for us as believers, when you add the resurrection to the name of Jesus, all these other faiths, they fall flat because they have no power. They have nothing to hold on to. We have an eternal life because a resurrected Jesus is the Son of the living God. Yes, glory to him. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 20 and in Luke 24, we have the rendition of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And there are three particular instances I just want to briefly refer to this morning. All of them related. And I'm just going to give you the background to it and tell it as it happens in the scripture, and especially from Luke 24. You know, the woman on that morning, Resurrection Sunday, the day of the Lord, on that morning, it was woman who went to the grave. And they had spices because they want to treat the body of their Lord and their Savior. And they arrived there and they saw the stone was rolled away and they saw that the grave was empty. And they were told, he is risen. And they left to go and tell the disciples. Do you ever wonder why the stone was rolled away? It wasn't for Jesus to come out. It was for us to go in to see the proof that it's an empty grave. Yes. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus was not confined and kept in the grave because of a stone. But these women left. They told the disciples about this. Peter and John, they run to the grave and they see that the grave is empty. And here comes Mary Magdalene again. She was there with the woman the first time around, and here she comes again, and she's weeping. Inside the grave, she sees two angels are sitting, one at the headside of the Lord, and one at the foot where his body used to be. And she's weeping. And she's asking them, or asking these angels, where is her Lord? Tell me where you have taken his body. And she turns around and there stands someone behind her and she thinks it's a gardener asking him the same question. and he only speaks one word, Mary. And when he spoke her name, she knew it was him. Just the utterance of a name. Just the utterance of a name. I love what the scripture says in Isaiah 43 verse 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Mary Magdalene was the Lord's. But it's interesting, she didn't recognize him at first, and only when he spoke her name did she realize it was the Messiah. That was in the morning, the day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Later during the course of the day, in the afternoon, two disciples were on their way to Emmaus, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And suddenly here, a person appears and starts talking to them, asking them what had happened during the course of the day. And they ask him, putting this now in layman's terms, do you not know of what had happened? We heard testimonies from the disciples that the grave is empty, and the woman said that they've seen him. And it was Jesus, but they too did not recognize him. And he walked with them the whole 7 miles. He even went to have supper with them. And when it was supper time, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it. And when he gave it to them, they recognized it was Jesus. The second time the same day, two people do not realize it was the Lord Jesus. These two disciples now, it's nighttime. They're running back 7 miles, going back to Jerusalem because they want to go and tell all the other disciples of this wonderful news. They had seen the resurrected Lord. They arrived there in Jerusalem in the upper room where the disciples and all the others were, and they were about to tell them about this. And they said, they call him Simon, which is Peter. Simon had met the resurrected Lord. And then they tell them what they had experienced and how he was revealed to them at the breaking of the bread. And as they were saying this, immediately the Lord appears within their vicinity. And all of them also do not recognize it is the resurrected Lord. It says they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus himself says to them, look at flesh and bone, my flesh and bone. He's proving to them that this is the resurrected body of our Savior, flesh and bone. It was the glorified body of our Lord Jesus. It was the incorruptible body of our Lord Jesus. It was the body that was not subject to death anymore. And they still did not believe him. And only when he asked them for food to eat, and he started eating, that they recognize him. Three instances, all on the same day. Mary Magdalene only recognized Jesus when he called a name. The two disciples to Emmaus only recognized Jesus, our Lord, when he broke the bread with them. And the other disciples all together only recognized Jesus the moment that he started eating. Why is this? What is it that made them not recognize the resurrected Lord? What is it? I do believe the Bible always gives us answers. And in the Old Testament, it always points to the New Testament. And I want to suggest something to all of you. A particular reason, because I believe the Bible speaks the truth always. Isaiah 50 verses 6. I'll just read for you. This is what he said in Isaiah 50 verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. Try and pluck out someone's beard and you see the pain and the discomfort. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Then Isaiah 52 verse 14, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage, in other words, Jesus' appearance, it was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. I want to read this verse again, but out of the Jewish Study Bible. Listen to what it says there. Just as many were appalled by him, because he was so disfigured that he didn't seem human and simply no longer looking like a man. The word marred in Hebrew that we've just read, this is what the Hebrew describes this in this particular scripture. It means to be disfigured. It says, in his sufferings, the Messiah was so bruised and beaten and mutilated that his outward appearance was horrendous. He's suffering so much that even the wicked, the hard-hearted men, were shocked at his treatment. He became so disfigured that men were disgusted at what they saw. The more perfect his body, the more marred he seemed in his suffering. Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 5, we've all heard this when it said, there, especially in verse 5, he was bruised for our iniquities and he was wounded for our transgressions and the punishment of our peace was upon him. Listen to what it says in the Jewish Study Bible here. He was wounded because of our crimes. He was crushed because of our sins. The disciplining, the rebuke, and the punishment that makes us whole was on him. And by his bruises, we were healed. Is it possible? Is it possible that him who they saw was so bruised, was so disfigured, that they could not even recognize him? Is that possible? I'm not saying it is the only reason, but I want to bring you into the picture of what it really is, what Jesus went through, so that we can understand what the power is of the resurrection. Because every apostle from that moment on who got saved, none of them, not one of them, would ever renounce the fact that there was a resurrection. That is how much it meant for them. Because you see, on the day that Jesus was resurrected, many others were resurrected. It said that the saints of old, they were resurrected, those who were in the graves, and they went to Jerusalem. So there had to be a physical proof that this was Jesus who was resurrected and no one else. Was it something about the way how he appeared? All that abuse, the physical abuse that came his side because of you and me. Is that a possibility? That even the apostles, that from that moment on, they would never renounce the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So much so that 11 of the 12 apostles would die refusing to renounce the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because they knew what it cost him to come out of that grave. They knew, and we need to get into that picture to grasp the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even, yes, hallelujah. That is the power. Even our Lord Jesus' half-brother James, when Jesus himself was resurrected and he saw this, he himself got saved and he became a powerful leader in the church. Saul, who was an unbeliever, fully understood the power of the resurrection. He said, and he writes this in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3, and he says, he gives to us what has been given to him, and that there are three fundamental pillars upon which Christianity stands. And number one, he says here, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What scriptures? They didn't have the New Testament. It was all the Old Testament. And he said, and he was buried, and he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. This is the power of the resurrection, is that what he went through on the cross, and he endured all of this, and in spite of this, he rose from the dead. How much then will he not do for us, considering what he had gone through? Is it too much to ask then to come to church? Is it too much to ask to come to church on a Sunday evening? Is it too much of an inconvenience for us than to go to a home cell and fellowship and stop looking at load shedding and all these other excuses, considering what he had gone through? You know what? Our senior pastor goes to a home cell. His wife goes to a home cell. And I want to say to every member in this church, we have no excuse. If the senior pastor and his wife can lead by that example, none of us should not be in a cell. And if you can't make a cell, at least start a prayer cell, because that is the community who he died for and what he rose for again. Is it too much to ask that we can do his thing? That even when we bring our giving before God, that we remove all the excuses that we may have why we should not give, and we remember this. We remember this. The empty tomb comes with suffering and with death. But it stays there because out of it comes life in Him, and that life is everlasting. It's an everlasting life for us. We are never going to die again. In the flesh, yes, but that's it. There's life everlasting for us. And the resurrection is sealed up in the fact that there is everlasting life for us. The punishment was paid. The price was paid. Death has been defeated. The grave is empty. The empty tomb shouts out the victory that we live. The heavens declare, because they say our names are written there in the heavens. Hallelujah. And our Lord in His scriptures tells us, surely He says, I come quickly. And the body of Christ says, come, Lord Jesus, come. This is the power of the resurrection. No wonder that even up until today, even atheists, unbelievers, agnostics stand before this truth and they cannot reason past this. Many atheists had come to this truth and they got saved. I don't want to mention their names, but listen to what one former atheist said. He said, it would take more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus. Another atheist said this, former atheist, the evidence is so strong that Jesus' death by crucifixion was indisputable. It was indisputable, for therefore also came the resurrection. Another former unbeliever, Saul, who became the apostle Paul, wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, he wrote this, and if Christ is not risen, our faith is futile, and then we are still in our sins. 3 verses later, in verse 20, in that same scripture, he says, therefore, Christ is risen, and He is the first fruit of the resurrection. We have been raised into new life. We no longer live. It is Christ in us. We have been resurrected in our spirits, and we will be resurrected in our bodies because He lives. He lives in us. There was a woman, Madeline Murray O'Hare, and I'm coming for a close. In 1963 in America, she filed a lawsuit challenging the practice of compulsory prayer and reading of scripture in the public schools. And she filed this lawsuit and said it was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court of America got together and they ruled in her favor. Therefore, it was abolished in private schools. That same year, she started a movement called American Atheists. Became world-renowned for it. Appeared on TV shows, all the cable news networks all over the world. Appeared with the greatest atheist in the world. And she totally came for the church and all believers. She raised her children in that same way. And she reveled and marveled in the fact that they called her the most hated woman in America. She was absolutely obnoxious in the face of Christianity. And in 1980, 17 years later, her one son, Murray, got saved. He got saved. And this is what she said, amongst other things. This is what she said about him the day that she heard and she learned about his conversion. I repudiate, in other words, I completely disown. I repudiate him, my son, entirely and completely for now and all times. He is beyond human forgiveness. That's what she said about her son who got saved in 1980. She took his daughter, she raised her, and her other son, Murray's half-brother, and they all became the pioneers of American atheist. And in 1995, all three of them, Madeline, Murray's daughter, and his brother, they all got kidnapped. And for a month, they disappeared, and a ransom was asked, and then all of them were killed. 6 years later only, they found their bodies. And the person who killed him was a person who was a former member of the American Atheists. You see, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ has got meaning for some in this life. And in this life, we will move beyond adversity because the Lord will remove all the rejection from the world and He will make us prosper. But the power of the resurrection for others come in another life. And then it is too late. Because there they will only know through their rejection that there is torment and that there is abuse and that there is absolute darkness and they can never get away from it. Listen, I'm closing off with this. All of us as believers, all Christians, none of us have not been scarred by the abuse in this world as Christians. It may have come in different forms. It may have come physically to some of you through relations, others through finances. But here's the truth. There comes a time, and it will come by God's word, that we will see Him as He sees us, and we will be like Him. 1 John 3 verses 2 says this, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Hallelujah. Let's stand and give the Lord God a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give our God a proper praise, for He is worthy, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He lives forevermore. In us and through us. They say it was the nails that kept Him on the cross for 6 hours. It wasn't. It was His love for you and I. They tried for a stone to keep Him in the grave, but it is His love that made Him rise up and walk out of that grave. And just like Mary, He says to all of us this day, He calls us by name. He just calls your name and you know His voice because the shepherd knows his flock and the flock knows His voice. Let us raise our hands to the heavens. O Holy Father God, Almighty, Almighty, You alone, glory be to You. Thank You that on this Resurrection Sunday, we can celebrate, Father, that we are alive because Christ is alive. You accepted the offer of His sacrifice. That blood was presented before You, Holy Father, and You accepted that atonement, and therefore You offered us forgiveness, and our names are written in the heavens. May You be glorified, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of Your Holy Spirit be with all of us now and forevermore. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray this. And all of us agree, and we say, Amen. Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.